also the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse is going to conduct your hearing, so we're going to, she will begin just at this time, sir. So just hold on to the phone, sir.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Could we please start by having you state your full name and your ADC number?
Jeffrey Devine Russell, 104603.
Thank you, sir. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. This will be for a regular parole, so that would be 412A, home arrest, or absolute discharge today. I'd like to introduce you to the board. If you look to your right, so my left, down that way, at the very end is the Honorable Louis Quinones. Next to him is the Honorable David Neal. Right next to me here in the middle is our board chairman, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright. Over on my other side here is the Honorable Michael Johnson. And my name is Gail Rittenhouse. I'll conduct your hearing today, sir. We'll start with just a brief, I also want to mention you have it looks like four supporters in the room. Kimberly Russell, Bertrand Russell, Christy Johnson, and L. Russell. Okay, sir? So they're present in the room today. I'll just start with a brief summary, sir, and you can kind of, I may ask you if things are correct as you understand them. It looks like you are 42. Are you 42 now?
No, 41.
You're 41. Oh, okay, my math. Math's not so good sometimes when I figure that out. And it looks like you were certified for or eligible for parole as of February 19th of 2018. Just check that really quick. I think I have that sheet right here. Yes, February 19th, 2018. You're currently serving 25 years to life for the crime of murder in the first degree, and that occurred on February 12th of 1993. And how old were you at the time that this happened, sir? Okay, because you're very young now, and I see. Okay, one more person has arrived, but we don't know the name of the person. We just know that it's your aunt. Okay, so you were 15 at the time, sir, of the crime, and you were convicted by a jury trial on January 26, 1994, and sentenced on March 10, 1994. You were remanded to adult court at the time, sir?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And you appealed, but it appears your conviction was affirmed.
Yes.
Okay. Looks like your prison discipline history, you know, considering how long you've been there, you would only have five majors. So that's good for that amount of time that you're there. I mean, I want to say it's good to get a major, but it's less, fewer disciplines than some inmates have. And it looks like your last, you had a minor in 2013, and your last major was in 2012, and that was for disrupting count. Do you remember what happened on that day?
Yes, I do. I was, when I was doing the walk. Conducting count, I was sitting in somebody else's house.
Oh, okay. And I presume you're not supposed to be sitting in somebody else's area?
Yes, yeah,
oh, okay, all right, gotcha. All right, it looks like you have taken some programming. You've taken some substance abuse and programming. It looks like at least four of those and some life skills classes and some custodial like trades training to do professional custodial. And have you earned your GED or just worked on it, or?
No, I've had my GED since 1999.
Okay, well, excellent. Well, congratulations on that. That's one of those things nobody can ever take away from you. Once you have education, you got it, and nobody can ever take it away. Okay, let's see. What else was I going to mention here? We do have a letter, and I just want, before I forget to mention that, we have a letter from the Maricopa County Attorney's Office dated December 18th, 2018. And in that letter, the Maricopa County Attorney's Office expresses opposition to any sort of parole for you, but we get those letters routinely. So it looks like you owe some restitution. Are you aware of that?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and I usually that starts upon your release. You have to start paying that. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And let's see, we have... I just wanted to mention your criminal history. It looks like you mostly had some thefts and trespassing as a juvenile, since you were so young when this happened. You were 15, and so you'd had some of that. And that you had been involved in a gang since you were very young, it appears. Mr. Russell, why don't you tell us a little bit about the crime? What happened that day, sir?
I was over over a friend's house while they were on their way over to commit a crime. On the way over there, they explained to me what was going to happen. Then when we got there, they asked me if I wanted the help. I said no, I stay outside. So I stayed outside in the parking lot while they went in.
Okay, and you were convicted because of the felony murder?
Felony murder, mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, understood. So when you were 15 at the time, you was there anyone else who was as young as you were with this group?
We were all around the same age. I was the youngest. It was like, I was 15, well, I was like 16 to 17.
Okay, so this was a group of how many people?
Four people.
Four of you, and you just stayed out, and then the other three went in then?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and were these friends of yours or neighbor? How'd you know them?
Friends from the neighborhood that I grew up with during that time.
Okay. And when they came back out, did they tell you what had happened, or?
I didn't even know they came back out. Once I came from a parking lot, they were gone. Then once I got back to his house, they told me what happened.
Okay.
I turned around, went back to the place where the crime happened, and asked one of the victims what happened. Was she okay?
Oh, you did that? Okay.
Yes.
Okay, sir. All right. Let me see if my fellow board members have any questions for you. Any questions for Mr. Russell at this point?
Yes, ma'am.
Dr. Wright has a question for you, sir.
I want to get in front of you, Madam Chair.
Go ahead.
My question is, inasmuch as you were released by this board, and this so happened here, the one where you were released, and then you were revoked. So what happened? Why are we talking to you today? Why were you revoked, sir?
I was fooled to go out to Salvation Army dress because and my auntie made a stop off at her store. Then she made a stop off to drop her niece off and stop there. I think used the restroom.
Okay, and what happened, sir?
I stayed in a car.
You stayed in the car and why did we revoke you? Why did this board revoke you back on, I guess it was May of this year, May 1st of 28. Why did you get revoked, sir? That's what I'm still trying to figure out. What happened?
The stops that was made, like stuff at stuff that Monty made to drop off her keys, the stuff that she made to stop off at the store, and to use the restroom. None of those stops were authorized for me to be going. Even though I stayed in the car, it was still an authorized place for me to be.
So how did they know it? Did you have a GPS on you, on your ankle or something?
Yes, sir, GPS.
And so your parole officer was able to make a determination that you had not had approval to have stopped at that store, sir. I'm just trying to make sure I understand,
yes.
Sir.
Yes.
Okay, and so did you tell your, who did you say that person was that you were with for when you stopped at the store? Who was that, sir?
My auntie.
Okay. Did you tell your auntie that you weren't supposed to stop, or did you Were you not aware of the fact that you were not supposed to have stopped the officer because of the itinerary that you had given to the parole officer, sir?
Really, my manager place I confused him because my parole officer, he had told me that anytime somebody was giving me a ride like to certain destinations because I wasn't able to have a driver's license, he said that they can stop off at the store, you know what I mean, or use a restroom or something like that. He said, so long as they don't take too long and I stay in the car. You know what I mean? So when my auntie had made these stops, she had asked me, was it okay? And I said, yes, as long as I stay in the car.
I'm asking the questions at this particular moment because, you know, initially I was the one who was chairing and who made the motion to let you out. And
yes, sir.
Now we have you back and back in, and I'm just trying to make sure that I understand why we're talking to you at this time, inside rather than on the outside. So let me just make sure that I understand just from a practical standpoint. You were riding with your aunt and you stopped at
yes.
the store and she went in, but you stayed in the vehicle, but you did not have that was not part of your itinerary that you
yes.
had with the parole officer, and because of the GPS, he was able to make a determination that was not on your itinerary.
Right.
Am I halfway right, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'm going to stop at this time. Maybe some other board members might have some questions. I just wanted to make sure that I understood exactly why we're talking to you today, sir.
Yes, sir.
Any other questions from board members? Okay. Mr. Russell, I want to give your supporters an opportunity to speak, if that's okay with you.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Would anyone like to speak for Mr. Russell?
Come
right up here and is that green light on that microphone? Okay, good, and it's on. Please start by stating your name.
Latrice Russell.
Okay.
And I am the niece, the cousin of you, the niece of Jacqueline. That day, we stopped off at the store, we stopped off at a smoke shop, and I got cigarettes. I stopped off to get Newport cigarettes, and what I don't understand is what's the difference from a smoke shop or a Circle K? A Circle K has liquor, beer, or whatever, cigarettes as well. What's the difference from a smoke shop and a Circle K? Like, you get violated to go by going to a smoke shop, but you won't get violated by going to a Circle K. You don't understand, it's like a double standard. He did nothing wrong. I mean, he's been gone since I was 12 years old. You know, so I wanted to see him. And I went about lunch that day and I rode with him, and it's been a long time since he's been home around his family, and you know, he's family free, he's done his time, you know, for crime, and he still he's still limited on where he can go, and mainly it was like he couldn't go to his family and he had to come to him. And you know, he's been gone so long, his wife been by his side, so she no one is over here. You know, like she don't have time with him. We know what we're talking about. And I think they came out too strong, too strict with him. And he's been gone for 25 years. Like, I think that he shouldn't have been violated on them standards of a store.
Well, just to clarify, the hearing today is not about that. We're asking him some questions about...
Well, obviously, because he was with me,
yeah.
I was one of the ones in the car.
Yeah, the hearing is not about that today.
Stop at a smoke shop, because that's what they focused on was the smoke shop.
Today we're hearing for whether he should be released again, so...
Yeah, so, I mean, I feel really bad that he, you know, had a violated himself, chose to come speak, and I'm just asking that you guys bring him... You know, to be released again. But he didn't get a chance to even begin to do anything to help him, you know, out here in this world, you know, back into society or whatever. So I think it was just ripped back right away from him again. And I'm just asking that you just grant him and release him to us again.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Johnson has a question. Just one moment, please. Mr. Johnson has a question.
I just want to make a clarification, because it doesn't matter whether he goes to a smoke shop or a Circle K. When they're on home arrest and they're on the monitor, they have to fill out a weekly itinerary. In that weekly itinerary, they can only go to a location that's on that. If he had on that itinerary, and I'm saying this because, you know, for future reference, if he on his itinerary is to go to one location, he can't stop at the Burger King, McDonald's, or any place like that on the way from there. He can only go to the approved locations that's on there. And so that's the reason. So it doesn't matter whether he goes to a smoke shop or a Circle K. If he alters or do any stops other than what's his approved weekly itinerary, then that's a violation.
Okay, when you just said that his probation officer said that it was okay if he's riding with someone and they have to stop off for the bathroom or stop off for the store. So, can I understand?
No. I'm just clarifying. You said you didn't understand the difference between a Circle K and a smoke shop.
Yeah, because for his wife, if the smoke shop was the problem.
Well, it was that he stopped off, but there was two other locations.
You said it was okay that if someone had to
stop. So how long was he with you during that period of time?
Probably 45 minutes to an hour.
So did he stop off at any other locations while he was with you?
He went to every place that he needed to go to on that list, and to we stopped off for cigarettes and to use the bathroom.
And where did you stop to use the bathroom?
I don't remember. I just know I focused on the smoke shop because it was me who stopped there for cigarettes.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Mr. Johnson. Any other questions? Mr. Quinones has a question.
Thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse. Just a quick follow-up too, ma'am, just so that it's doesn't come off so personal. Home arrest is always strong and strict, consistently, in every direction. So we see a full variety of people that are released from home arrest, and there's not like the nice version and the harsh version. It's always hard. They're still an inmate. They're still on inmate status when they're on home arrest, and it's always strict. So,
I think it should be a little bit more immediate. First time he has done, a store. I can see if he's out trying to commit another crime or something like that, which was not happening.
All I'm saying is a store is not okay for the next person under arrest. It's strict. So, thank you.
Well, I'm just asking. Okay, thank you very much.
Anyone else? Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
What's your name?
Kimberly.
Okay. And I'm the police wife. And on that day, like prior to him coming home and stuff, I took 2 weeks off. So that way I was able to take him to the PO office and office if he needed to go. But on the day of March 6th, that's the day I returned back to work. So he had 2 places on his itinerary, which I understand the itinerary as we had to go back and forth to the PO to get a better understanding of how it works and what needs to be going there and stuff like that. So when we went to work, I made a bus packet to where he knows which bus to take, where the location of the bus was. He ended up getting lost, but he caught his own to pick him up. So when he got picked up, he went to, from my understanding, he went to the places where he went to dress for success, I believe it was, and the Salvation Army, I think it was, up in 59th and Northern. And so when I got the call from my mom that he was being picked up, I'm white, she was paying for something. But from this point, what I've been doing, I'm going to the Goodwill Career Places, created a resume for him from the jobs that he has been doing in the past from being incarcerated, and got those. So when he do come on to be released, I also sent him a list of jobs that he can select. And for where he did his applying for jobs and stuff, and when I wrote the letter, they still have a program where it's a computer program where he can basic computer skills and so forth. So my thing is having him home and understanding the whole itinerary and not deviating from that, because I know that's very restrictive, and I know what he's constantly doing that and how strict the requirements are in the beginning. I know it will start to deviate to where he is able to see his mom or go to certain areas that's still going to be approved. But it is like step by step, and I understand that, but I understand some family members don't understand that at this time because they're like haven't seen him in so many years, and they just want to like, oh, can you come here, can you come here? And right now, that's not the case. But eventually it will become the case once the rules and regulations and stuff is, you know, step by step.
Thank you. Any questions? Thank you very much. Good morning.
Good morning.
And please state your name.
I'm Jacqueline Russell, Dupree's aunt.
Okay.
First and foremost, I want to start off by apologizing to him. I apologize to his wife, you know, and to you guys too. He called me. I had like 4 missed calls from him, and I lived right down, at the time I lived right down the street from him. I was off at 83rd Avenue in North Buckeye, and then in Avondale, so I had like 4 missed calls from him. I woke up, I'm like, Dupree's calling me, so I answered. He's like, Auntie, where you at? Wake up, get up. I'm like, I'm asleep. He's like, pick me up. I need to go, you know, to a couple places, Goodwill and Dress for Success. And I was like, okay, he said he was walking. And you know, that area out there, like in Avondale, you gotta catch the bus all the way to Tallahassee. So he was walking from like 107th Avenue, Buckeye. And when I picked him up, by the time I got to him, he was on Van Buren and 99th Avenue. So I picked him up from right there. I'm like, the buses don't start to, you know, like on 91st. So I'm like, that would have been a long walk. So I picked him up. I stopped at Burger King right there on the corner. I tried to offer him some, you know, some breakfast or something. He was like, oh, Auntie, I'm not allowed. You know, I was already in the driveway. He was like, I'm not allowed to stop there. I was like, oh. So we was in the driveway for like about 1 minute or whatever. So I got out of there. I hopped right on the freeway. I took him to Glendale, to Goodwill. Then we waited there for him. I went in the parking lot for him. He was in there for like a couple minutes, about 30 minutes. From there, I went to Dress for Success off of my hobby and 12th Street. I took him over there. From there, they said it was for women's or whatever. It wasn't for men, so he came back out. We was headed back to take him home. So I made a stop, Latrice that was just here, she wanted to stop at her mom's house so her mom could see him and stuff like that. He was like, well, I can't do all that stopping, you know. She's like, why? Well, I can't, nobody see you, whatever. So it was like a little argument, you know what I mean? And I'm like, you can't stop. So she just kept pushing. She was like, well, it's just a couple seconds, but I can't get out the car. So we pulled up on 41st Avenue and McDowell off of Linwood Street. Her house was sitting on the corner, so we came right there, she came outside. She opened up his door, she hugged him like this and said, I love you, nephew, or whatever. And we was just there for like 2 minutes, not even 5 minutes, and we left. And I dropped Latrice Russell off at QT, that was the store. And that's the place I ran there, I ran to use the bathroom, we had dropped her off, and then from there, from QT, we hopped on the freeway and I took him straight home. And that was about it that happened, but I apologize. His wife had explained to me about, you know, he was supposed to go here, you know, about the paper. He had to write all that down. I didn't know nothing about that. I really apologize. And it won't happen again.
Okay, any questions?
So what was, when you went to QT, where was that at?
QT was off, is that Camelback Freeway?
Okay.
17 and counting back.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. Any other questions?
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Bertrand Russell. I am the priest's uncle. When we had the hearing back in February of last year, I spoke telephonically because I was in California. So it was great to see the Dupree get out. I was very involved with the Dupree when he was 15 years old and this whole situation came down. I am an attorney. I'm also a pastor, and so I was actually working with his attorney at the time. So I'm not going to go through all of that because you guys had that last time. But when Dupree got out, he really wanted to assimilate back into society. 15 years old, gets incarcerated for 25 years, not making any excuses for what he did, but it was a tough adjustment for him. He was on the out for 2 or 3 weeks before he was violated. The day after his wife went back to work is when this situation occurred, and he was out of the bounds of what his itinerary was, and nobody's coming here saying that what he did was wrong. He messed up. But I'm here to say that given, and I'm not lessening what happened because I understand that he did violate the terms of his parole, but he definitely, after serving 9 more months, needs to be given another opportunity to get back into society and show you all and his family that he is a productive, wonderful young man. I only got to see him one time, and that was right when he was released. His wife dropped him off to my law office to say hi, and she got a call from the parole officer indicating that he was not supposed to come to my office because they tracked him. So I saw him one time and was hoping that I would get a chance to see him after these tears were released. It didn't happen, but I am here just begging you all to give him another chance because he will be a productive person.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for
the
question.
Well, I think this has already been said. I just want to reemphasize, I think what Honorable Mr. Johnson and Honorable Mr. Corrales has already indicated. I just want to put it my way. I think that this would not influence how I work today, but I think that there was some misunderstanding because he, and this is my way of putting it, he was still an inmate. When you're on home arrest, you're still an inmate. You're not free in society on home arrest. He was not given general parole. If he was given general parole, that was something different. But when you're on home arrest, and that's not a policy of this board, that's a policy of the state of Arizona. When you're on home arrest, when anyone, an inmate is on home arrest, and I don't like to use the word inmate, but for this purpose, when inmate is on home arrest, that person is still considered to be an inmate with the same regulations that they have when they are incarcerated. And I think that Mr. Russell did not quite understand that, but that was really, I think that's what created the problem. He was still considered to be an inmate, and he could not go anywhere other than what was on that piece of paper or on that computer or however he communicated with his parole officer. And I just wanted to reemphasize that, although my distinguished colleague said it much better than I said.
Any other questions?
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Is anyone else going to speak for Mr. Russell today? Good morning.
Good morning.
Please start by stating your name.
I'm Christy Johnson. I am the Dupree's sister-in-law, Kevin's older sister. So to start, Dr. Wright, I'm glad you asked the question because I actually myself had no idea why we are back here on the Dupree's behalf, and he's in there, and
like you said, we're out here, so it's good to know why, and you're absolutely right. The severity of him being bullied at the time should have been taken as such and shouldn't have been taken lightly, but I think it's been said over and over it wasn't different responsibility as he was not the one driving. But we all sat here last time and made promises, and I think we all should take that responsibility because we didn't take it as it should have been taken. But I think we all know now the severity of what happens when we don't take it as serious. And we should have listened to the police during that time when we were taking him on these adventures and taking him places where he shouldn't have been going. And if it was that important, you know, we should have been going to Dupree instead of taking Dupree elsewhere. So I do believe this time now we know the rules. We know how serious it is. It's more than just a slap on the wrist. It's something that we will take to heart, and we will know the rules this time if Dupree is released, of how to manage his time, how to manage his whereabouts, how to manage his GPS, and how to manage what he needs to do so that we are not here in front of you again if we don't have to be. And if there is, it's him on the outside. So I just wanted to take that opportunity because I hear you loud and clear, and you're absolutely right. I think that's the part that was forgotten, is that he, although free on the outside, he was still an inmate, and that's the part that was forgotten. And I think those are the rules that we all need to make sure that we understand before we leave today, is that when he, if he is released, he is still an inmate, and we all are supposed to abide by the same rules as he is, if not even more stricter, as we are the ones who, you know, pretty much have his freedom in our hands, because we're the ones who have to get him from place A to B. So I do apologize on behalf of myself, Dupree, and the family, because we are the ones who are the reasons why we're here today.
Thank you. Any questions for Ms. Johnson? Thank you. Thank you very much. And is there anyone else to speak for Mr. Russell today? All right. Back to you, Mr. Russell. We're coming up toward the end of your hearing, and I want to give you the opportunity to make a final statement if there's anything else you thought of maybe while people were talking. Is there anything else, without repeating yourself, that the board should consider, sir?
It was just a misunderstanding that the parole officer actually told me that if someone else is giving me a ride back and forth to these destinations, that they're not trying to make it harder on somebody that's helping out. That if they need to stop off at a store and use a restroom and different stuff, that we could, so long as I stay in the car. Because he said the GPS to know where I'm at. And that's what was done, but I wasn't given an opportunity to explain or stress. I wasn't believed. But it was the truth that I was lying to.
Okay, sir. Anything else?
No, ma'am.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Russell. The board is going to go into discussion, sir. We do our discussion in public under the Arizona Open Meeting Law. So just stay on the phone, remain silent, and we'll be back with you in just a moment.
Okay.
Okay. The board is now in discussion. Mr. Russell, I remember Mr. Russell because we saw him last year. And I remember, as you reminded us, Dr. Wright was the chair of that particular hearing, and we granted him a rest. And then in May, we had a revocation hearing based on this misunderstanding about the itinerary. And nothing else, obviously, has changed. I mean, Mr. Russell's attitude remains the same and good. His behavior in the prison remains good. I'm just having some concern about his ability and or willingness to follow the very strict nature of home arrest. So I'll just open the discussion with that and listen to what others think. Mr. Johnson.
I agree, but there is some situation in here where family has had some intervention and transporting him and take him, but he was, his parole officer did inform him once before that he had to go to one location and not vary from the location he has. I think that based on what the family is saying, that they didn't take it as lightly, that he would stop off someplace else and, you know, he would be violated for doing that. I do think that Mr. Russell was fully aware of that. I think that the only one that's really fully aware of what the situation was his wife. She fully understood what the situation was. I think that the family now, you know, understands the seriousness of it and what needs to happen, that he needs to adhere to it. And the reason that we put them on home arrest is that if they've been locked up for a long time, the chances of them straying off or getting with some old friends or doing something else and going the wrong direction is much, much higher when they're not on home arrest. And that's the purpose of putting on the monitor, because it's been locked up a long time and things change, lives change, vehicles change, directions change, easy to get lost because the city has grown. And so we try to just monitor it, because it's not a punishment, but it's more assistance to be able to help them so that they're just not out and getting in trouble or doing something. But I think Mr. Russell's been back incarcerated, and I think that he's learned, and I'm surely sure that the family has learned about it, learned this. And I would hope that if he is released back out, that the family, you know, explains to other members of the family how important it is for him, and that it's not a punishment. It is more of a decision that to monitor what he's doing so that he doesn't go back, so that he can't re-acclimate himself back to the community and what's going on. Because so many times we see him come back in here and they just happen to go get back with some old friends, and once that happens, they go completely the wrong direction. And we don't want to see him do that. We want to see him be positive. But I think he understood, and I think all the family members didn't understand. But I think that given the opportunity, that I would hope that Mr. Dupree Russell will fully understand and not come back before this board, that the family understands the importance and seriousness of what the purpose of the home arrest status is.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Mr.
Kinyamis. Thank you. I think Mr. Johnson did a fine job of explaining the spirit of home arrest. And I'll take the position that it's clear that Mr. Russell violated his conditions. He's been sanctioned. But I'll also say that I don't get the impression he was doing illegal things. He just needed to really understand how strict home arrest can be. And I think this case is one of the reasons why, when this board does grant home arrest, I tend to give very, very stern warnings in that transition, because I'm concerned about this happening. But I feel confident that we can, as one board member, that we can return Mr. Russell to home arrest, and I think the world will look a little differently today. That's where I'm at. Thanks.
Mr. Nail?
Thank you, Mr. Adams. I think one thing seems to have been missed in our conversation, and it does concern me, and that's that a search of the internet history on Mr. Russell's phone showed him certain things, like how long his alcohol stayed in, and indicating that diluted UA may have been intentional because of alcohol use. And it does concern me considerably that question even has arisen with Mr. Russell. The issue of his family making the stops and not being his fault, is he was staffed for that type of violation about 2 weeks before the violations that got him violated and arrested. And it seems to me that between the release And when he was given the conditions of release and explained about the GPS and the itinerary, the men staffed and re-explained in the end of February, and then more violations 2 weeks later. As one pretty woman, I'm not comfortable with a return to home rescue this time. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Neal. Dr. Ray?
This is a tough one, because it's really something that I would ever make a motion for someone to be released on home arrest, but I had full confidence in Mr. Russell when he came before this board at that time. I must admit, I'm still on the fence at this time, because it hurts when violations do occur after this board goes out on a limb and let someone out. And I think that what Honorable Mr. Neal just pointed out has to be taken into consideration, which I don't think that had been during our discussion today. It centered around some other things, but I think that the fact that he it was negative, when I said it, the UA was negative, but it was diluted and unsuitable for testing. And as Mr. Neal said much better than I would say that he had done this research, and why would you do the research on quote, how long does alcohol stay in my system, end quote, and quote, does spice show up in a drug test? Just simple questions that I'm not sure why anyone would ask those. If I'm not going to use it, doesn't matter who it would be. I'll see where I go, but right now I'm still on the fence. I'll be honest with you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Dr. Wright. Mr.
If I may follow up, in our dialogue, Mr. Neal is absolutely correct. I was a bit fixated on the itinerary issue and on the news allegation, which I did not, and I'm glad Mr. Neal did. I have to admit that is very concerning. Very concerning. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Quinones, and I appreciate the way Mr. Neal summed that up, because those were my exact concerns with when I said this inability or unwillingness to follow the conditions. Those were my concerns. Mr. Johnson?
I just want to say I did see that also in there, and I did take that in consideration, that he had the diluted or unsuitable for testing UA, but it came back negative, but I've also seen diluted and unsuitable that came back positive. So the fact that it was diluted and unsuitable does not necessarily just take away, because I'm questioning that too. When they came back diluted, came back positive, but diluted and unsuitable for testing. And so I did take that into consideration, and my thought as I was looking at that, but because it came back negative and because I've seen it come back positive, with that same statement, I just kind of made the assumption leaning more toward that it was negative. And I did look at those comments and the research that he actually made, but I was basing my opinion on the results of it coming back as negative. And it didn't, because it came back negative, I still remained at the same decision that I think that if Mr. Dupree was given a second opportunity, that he's been back incarcerated for several months now, and I think that given the opportunity, I would hope that Mr. Dupree would just stay out. I would still be amenable to him being reinstated on his home arrest status.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Any other discussion? I'm not going to make a motion then, and my motion is going to be that we deny 412A for home arrest or absolute discharge for Mr. Russell.
Second.
I disagree.
Disagree.
Agree.
Okay, motion by myself, seconded Mr. Neal, disagreed by Mr. Johnson, disagreed by Mr. Quinones.
Based on the date of the crime, then I'm going to recommend a one-year set-off. Any objections to a one-year set-off? No objections, then I'm going to mark a one-year set-off. Release type denied is general parole, home arrest for absolute discharge, and the reasons for the denial, loss of human life. History of assaultive behavior, verify that. Yes. I'm going to say needs closer supervision, as he did have a lot of difficulty with the home arrest, with the monitoring. And can board members think of any other reasons? Thank you. Okay, Mr. Russell, back to you, sir. The board is, you can hear some members of the board are more open to it, but the board is still concerned about your inability to follow the direction while on home arrest, sir. And you'll come up again in approximately a year for consideration again, sir. But for now, the board has denied your general parole, home arrest, or absolute discharge, sir. Thank you very much for participating. I'd like to thank everyone who came today and participated in the hearing.
So I come back in a year, but not in 6 months?
In approximately a year, so the department will certify you.
Oh, it was a mistake.
Okay, Mr. Russell, your hearing is concluded. Thank you very much for participating today, sir.
Please put the CLC back on, sir.
Hold on.